NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As you've been hearing all this week, News Talk is teaming up with Make-A-Wish to raise money for children with critical illnesses. Make-A-Wish creates life-changing wishes for children in those situations. And I'm joined by Ruth McDonald, mum of Rory and Fionn McDonald, who had the same genetic illnesses and both had been granted a wish by Make-A-Wish. Rory's condition was caught late and sadly, Rory passed away. Fionn's was caught earlier and thankfully he's doing well after a long and difficult journey. Rory's wish was to have sensory equipment and Fionn's wish was to have football goals, full size, to play football. Well, I'm joined now by Ruth. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning. Hi.
First of all, my condolences to you on the loss of Rory. It doesn't matter how long ago it was. I'm sure every day you feel the loss.
Absolutely. Yeah. He passed away in June 2022. He was 9. He was diagnosed at 6. So it's a very...
Before he was diagnosed, presumably there were some indications that something was amiss. But at what stage did that start?
Well, Rory was diagnosed at 6. He was a very happy, healthy boy, happy, healthy toddler. There was no problems.
Yeah.
But leading up to the day of diagnosis, the only changes I could identify really were behavioural changes. Which I would have put down to ADHD, which is very common with little boys who are diagnosed. They display ADHD symptoms, yeah. So is behavioural. But then in school, he started to regress in terms of he couldn't.
Things that he had been doing.
Oh, absolutely. All his milestones started to regress.
Okay.
He was in senior infants in school. Yeah. He could write his name. He could read stories. Sure. But then he just couldn't. He couldn't make out the words. He didn't know the difference between a cow and a dog. You know, very simple things. Mm.
So you decided you had to have this investigated.
I did, but it was very hard to pinpoint. The way I would describe it is that coming up to the Rory was just changing. He was just changing in front of me, but he wasn't acutely unwell. So it was very hard to explain to the doctors.
So he was still running around playing and eating.
He was playing hurling, playing football, lots of friends on his bike up and down the road. He was still happy and well, but there was just certain things that he might forget. And he started to stare. The last thing was he just developed a little squint in his eye ever so slightly. And that was sort of the catalyst then when I brought him. And I said...
Where did you bring him?
The GP initially.
And how difficult to get a diagnosis with these kind of little indications, but they're not emphatic.
No.
They're not dramatic.
No. So you couldn't, it was very hard to explain what I was presenting Rory with.
Yeah.
You know, again, they said it could be behavioural. So not much happened from the GP, but I brought him to A&E. I just said, I just need to bring him up to A&E. Yeah. And again, when I went to A&E, I was trying to explain to them and they said, there's nothing really wrong with him because, you know, but That night, whichever doctor, or I do know what doctor it was, she was on call and she looked at Rory's notes and she said, will you come back in to hospital, back into Tala? I want to have a look at Rory. And we were admitted for a week in October. And based on an MRI the following Thursday, they discovered through a brain MRI that the white matter on his brain was leading to X-linked adrenal leukodystrophy, which was the diagnosis, which came out of the blue. Something
I've never heard of that kind of.
No, it's incredibly rare. It's rare in Ireland. It's rare in the UK. Worldwide, it's rare, and it affects little boys.
Okay, so that was it. Was I suppose fortunate that you got a doctor who?
Yes,
kind of was concerned.
She just, and but even when we went in, she just looked. I still think it's behavioural with Rory, you know, he's...
She didn't want you to fret at that point.
Yeah, she said, don't worry, you know. You know, he had a CT scan that came back clear and I said, that's great. They suspected epilepsy because he was doing little staring incidents. But Rory changed from that week. He changed on me every day and I lost a bit of Rory. Particularly since diagnosis, I was starting to lose Rory on a daily basis.
What did they tell you caused this? Or was it genetic?
It's genetic.
Genetic.
It's genetic. It's X-linked, so it's the gene that carried down from the mum. So it was only done through genetic testing that they did a blood test after that with Rory. If it was caught in newborn screening, we may not be where we are today. And, you know...
And is that screening available? Is it generally done? I mean,
no.
It's such a rare condition
it's
a needle in a haystack.
Yes. Yeah, it's... ALD is not screened in Ireland.
Now, straight away, you have to worry about the rest of the family.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if it's genetic...
It's genetic.
So
that's happened on a Thursday. So we were back in on the Monday morning into hospital. And it just railroaded from there from... It's a bit of a blur of hospital appointments, blood tests, consultants. So we got the boys tested, Fionn and Tomás. Fionn is older and Tomás was only 3 at the time. So as a result of genetic testing, Tomás doesn't have the gene, but Fionn does. He carried the same gene as Rory.
Now, I mentioned in the beginning that diagnosis happened earlier for Fionn. In terms of the advancing of the condition. So treatment was possible.
Yeah, so when Fionn was diagnosed, it was on light of Rory's diagnosis. Rory was too far advanced for treatment. So if the condition, if the condition has progressed too much, we can't save the little boys. Yeah. But when Fionn was diagnosed at the same time, we were now going to do 6 monthly MRIs with Fionn to monitor. It was like a surveillance, a brain MRI every 6 months to see has there been any change or lesions on the brain. So Fionn started to do that. While Rory was going through his journey, Fionn started to do MRIs and they all remained stable. You know, every 6 months you'd get the good news that Fionn was well. But then 7 months after... Rory passed away, we were told we'll have to go to Manchester for a bone marrow transplant for Fionn because there was now changes on the MRI.
And that is the treatment, is it?
That is the treatment.
Is recommended.
A bone marrow transplant, yeah. And it's done in, we went to Manchester Children's Hospital.
So this was 7 months after Rory had passed?
Yeah, yeah.
So what a terrible journey you've been on. But talk to me about Make-A-Wish and how the Make-A-Wish came into your lives.
Yeah, so they came into our lives firstly for Rory. Fionn was on a different journey, as in he wasn't unwell, he was just getting his MRI. So but Rory's condition progressed quite rapidly. But Make-A-Wish came into our lives and in March 2020, Rory got this amazing climbing frame that we put into the middle of the kitchen, a trampoline and a hammock. So everything that could move or climb on.
So everything in the kitchen out of the way.
Yeah, and kitchen table, in comes the climbing frame with a giant beanbag underneath it because for safety reasons. And
but he didn't fall.
He never fell. And what's so amazing about Rory is that at this point he had lost his sight, his voice, His laugh, he saw all of these beautiful things, and he could hear us and he could walk, and we knew he loved to climb. That was his very nature, was to climb, and all of the time. So he would feel his way around the climbing frame in the middle of the kitchen, never fell, and would climb to the top of this frame in his bare feet, stand completely straight up and touch the roof with his two hands, holding on to nothing. I'm at the bottom trying to catch him, in case, but he never fell. So that climbing frame, it was a joy for him, you know. He didn't express it verbally, but we knew it was just, he was just so happy on it. And the hammock then, because it moved. And it was important for us to, you know, at that time of Rory's journey, he hated to leave the house. He got quite distressed. There was a safety net for him at home. He knew his surroundings because he was losing his cognitive abilities, but he knew he was home. So to get something that he could use at home and play with was really important to him.
And was Fionn able to involve himself in the activities on the frame?
Yeah, Fionn and Tomás would climb, turn upside down, flips. I have so many videos and so many memories, which is, I mean, the hammock is still going. The climbing frame is still going. Everything is still there. They're just a bit bigger now, but yeah.
And it's great to have those video memories.
They're just priceless, yeah.
Priceless. Mm. When you finally lost Rory, were you aware that Fionn's diagnosis was now becoming more critical?
Yeah, we had had some, when Rory was still with us, Fionn was obviously still getting his MRIs, and at one point they changed them to every 3 months because they spotted some discrepancy, I suppose, on the MRI. At that point, we were, Manchester would read his, their Centre of Excellence for ALD, and they looked at his MRIs. They reviewed them by an ALD specialist. And while our doctors here are very good, but they specialised in ALD, so they read them and they said, no, it's stable. We'll do it another 3 months. So this was kind of happening maybe in the summer of 2022, sorry. And then they changed back to 6 months. They were happy, no, it's stable. But so there was always a feeling that maybe we'd have to get treatment.
But you're coping with your grief
while
all of this is evolving, and you're thinking, are we going to have to go through this again?
Yeah.
However, the bone marrow transplant ultimately happened in Manchester.
It did.
And it's not an easy thing, a bone marrow transplant.
No. Fionn put up, and still does, fights, came across many challenges, made huge sacrifices. He was only 11 when we went, and of course Tomás came with us as well. The four of us went over to Manchester, and he got it April now, this month, 2 years, he'll be 2 years post-transplant, if that makes sense. Yeah.
And that transplant, is that now a permanent?
Yes. So it has halted the progression of ALD with Fionn.
Okay.
So Fionn's journey and Fionn's path is very different to Rory's prognosis. If they're caught on time, if these boys are caught on time, we can.
There's a future.
There's a future for them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's doing really well.
Now, talk to me about his wish.
So Fionn's wish, he asked for football goals, soccer football goals. And he did his research on it because he's a big sportsman. And I suppose when he got the transplant and was quite unwell, and we were in Manchester and came back then to be under the care of Crumlin and Tala, his journey still continued, even though we weren't in Manchester, because he wasn't allowed to meet a lot of his friends. He was still very vulnerable. So everything had to stop for him. He made huge sacrifices. Sport was his biggest thing, and he had to stop all of that.
So he was immunocompromised at that time.
Totally, yeah.
Had to mind himself. Clear of infection, all of that.
Yes, yeah. And because he had the Hickman line in, and there was many other things, he wasn't allowed to do contact sports. So when it came around that Fionn was going to be granted a wish, he was coming up on a year post-transplant, and he just wanted to play football and get back out with his friends. So what better way to... We have a green across the road and two big football goals out there, and he had all his friends. They organised the senior Kildare football team to come out and play against all of Fionn's friends. Johnny Doyle ref the match, and ice cream vans and pizzas. And it was just a big, it was a big celebration. It was a big party for Fionn. And it gave him back, I feel, his identity, because he had to put so much on hold.
Yeah.
With and, losing
and also
Rory.
cope with the loss of a sibling.
Yeah.
Which is...
Yeah. They have, you know, Tomás and Fionn and Kira. Kira's my stepdaughter. They're like a powerhouse. They keep going.
So the wish was a wish in spades.
Yes.
Pizza, ice cream.
Yeah.
A brilliant match.
Medals, everything. Yeah.
Fionn today is great.
Fionn today is great. Yeah. He's started first year and he's doing really well. We still have hospital appointments, but a lot less. And he's ploughing on. He's getting back into sports and there's no stopping him. Yeah.
Now, in terms of another family that might face this journey, I mean, the symptoms that you talked about in Rory's case, so hard to define, really.
Yeah.
So what can you say to people? Because you don't want to scare people every time a child misspells something that they spelled properly yesterday.
Yes. Yeah. And it seems so far from reality that I would just say trust your instinct and trust your gut as a mother or as a parent. You know, there was just little things with Rory, but yet 90% of the time he was still himself. It was just little things were changing so ever so slightly, but then it progressed escalated quite quickly, and the squint in the eye was just... But then even with that, you're told, well, kids can develop squints, so don't worry about that. So everything was like, there was a reason for it.
Yeah. It is rare, of course.
It is very rare. And
I'm wondering if there was no trace of this anywhere in the family line.
No, not true.
Way back, a child who died prematurely.
No. And the thing is, all these little boys, they're born perfectly happy and healthy. And it's not until often it's too late when they're diagnosed, because they don't present acutely unwell, you know. It's just a couple of things. And so a lot of moms and parents have lost little boys because they're just too far advanced, and nobody understood the condition to investigate it further.
Well, hopefully, if there should be, and it's a rare condition, we hasten to add.
Yes.
But if there are people out there who are concerned, trust your instinct is the message.
Trust your instinct, yes.
Tell me about the book.
So, shortly after Rory left us, keeping Rory's memory alive is, to me, the only way through this. Keeping that connection alive, keeping it going, talking about Rory. So I started to write a children's book about him, which is kind of all his memories and the games he played with his brothers, hurling football. It's like a day in the life of Rory through imagination and play.
Okay.
Because he just loved to play, and he loved creepy crawlies, and he used to push any boundary or limit that was set to him. He would make sure to overstep it. So it was just to celebrate Rory, Rory's dancing rainbows. And it's to celebrate Rory. It's to show everybody what a wonderful, brilliant, funny little boy he is. So
it's available. People can buy this.
Yeah. People can buy Rory's Dancing Rainbows on buythebook.ie. It's online. And what we would love to do is, if anyone was interested in buying it on buythebook.ie, that the money would go directly to Make-A-Wish. Because actually in the book is Rory's climbing frame that he got, which we still have, but that we'd love the proceeds of the book that we would donate to Make-A-Wish.
And that's something that hopefully people will do now when they... Just remind us again, buyabook.ie is where you go.
Buythebook.ie.
Buythebook.ie. Yeah. And the title of the book again is Rory's
Dancing Rainbows. Yes.
Okay. How are you yourself, Ruth?
I know it's kind of like a cliche, but it is day by day, one step in front of the other. Some days are harder than others. You know, you're heartbroken, but to the only, as I said, the only way that I can see through this is celebrating Rory, and that I get to hold him close that way. I get to feel his connection. I say to the boys, you know, you carry Rory with you when you're out in the football pitch, when you're anywhere, because Rory lives within us. We try to live by that mantra. But your reality can feel very different with his physical absence. And
every birthday.
His birthday is coming up now, the 18th of May. Yeah.
Every celebration, every missed milestone, obviously tugs at your heart.
It's all of the time. And like, he's such an energetic, he was just brilliant. And the condition that took him was just devastating, to lose Rory every day. But I used to always say, I still have him. Like, even though he was progressing so rapidly, I still had him. I still got to hug him and bring him, you know, wherever we needed to go. He was still ours until it just got too much for him. So your heart is broken. It's a heavy feeling to carry. But then I look at the boys as well, and Fiona's doing so well, and Tomás is 8 now, and I couldn't be more proud of them.
And life has to go on.
And life goes on, yeah.
Well, you're very brave, and I'm glad you're here to celebrate Rory again. Because by talking about him, we keep him with us.
Exactly, yes, thank you.
Ruth McDonald, mother of Rory and Fionn and Tomás, thank you very, very much for joining us in studio today. Now, as we've been saying, Make-A-Wish creates life-changing wishes for children with critical illnesses, and we want to make 2025 the biggest wish week yet. Every cent matters. You can donate online at makeawish.ie/donate. We made €192,000 last year. We want to beat the €200,000 mark this year. So again, donate online, makeawish.ie/donate. Ruth.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.